Okay, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Shenshen Li. I'm from the Fiber and Biopolymer Research Institute, Texas Tech University. The title of today's presentation is Preparation, Characterization, and Functionalization of Porocellular Materials. The outline of today's report, including introduction, objective, materials and methods, characterization of cellular gels, morphological characterization will test by scanning electron microscopy, surface area precise and precise distribution test by BET technique, structure conversion from erythr to cellular gels test by Fourier transform inference spectroscopy, and thermal properties by thermogravimetric analysis. And then I will introduce the functionalization of cellular gels. Material in which the typical structure of pores and network is largely maintained while the liquid of the gel is replaced by air is called aerogels. They have extremely low densities, large open pores, and high inner surface area. And aerogels have interesting physical properties like extremely low thermal conductivity and heat insulation. The material we use here is cellulose. Cellulose is a high molecule weight homopolymer beta-1,4 linked glucopyranose units. Here is the transstructure of cellulose. And when native cellulose 1 is dissolved and precipitated or treated with a concentration alkalized varying agents and washed with water, cellulose 2 is formed. Cellulose 2 is thermogenically more stable than cellulose 1, and therefore the transformation from cellulose 1 to 2 is irreversible. The objective of this research is to prepare, characterize, and functionalize porocellular materials, which we can call cellular gels or aerocellulose. Materials we use in this research including microcrystalline cellulose, erythr, sodium hydroxide, distilled water, acetone, and liquid carbon dioxide. Depending on this table, we prepare three different concentrations of cellular gels, 5%, 9%, and 11%, and each concentration have three different replications. Here is the cellular gel procedure. The erythr first dispersed in water, and at the same time, we prepare sodium hydroxide water solution. And the first beaker put in at 5 centigrade for 2 hours, and the sodium hydroxide water solution put at minus 12 centigrade for 2 hours, and then mix them together. We will have the sol. We put the sol at 50 centigrade for 2 hours, the gel will form, and then regeneration with water. The solvent exchange water to acetone, and after the supercritical drying, we will have cellular gels. The technique we use here is the supercritical drying. This figure shows explain the supercritical drying process. We will raise the temperature and the pressure to the critical point, and after this point, there's in this supercritical region, there's no difference between liquid and gas. If we keep the temperature here and then decrease the pressure slowly, we will remove the liquid inside the gel by maintaining its structure. So we will have the cellular gels. And look at the table here. There's a lot of solvents here. We choose the liquid carbon dioxide because it has a lower critical point temperature and the pressure. For other solvents, because cellulose starts degrading at about 230 centigrade, so the liquid carbon dioxide will be more safe for this research. After we got the cellular gels, we do some characterization of cellular gels, which including the morphological characterization by SEM, surface area precise and precise distribution by BET technique, structure conversion from erythr to cellular gels by FTIR, and thermal properties by TGA. The scanning electron microscope gives us the information of the cross-section of aerogel materials. And here is 5% aerocellulose, 9% and 11% aerocellulose under 300 magnification and 1000 magnification. You can see from the cross-section of aerogel material, it has open pores network structure. And when we increase in the concentration of cellulose, we could see the 11% still have some fibers here, and also we can see here And these figures are under the 1,500 magnification and 2,500 magnification. And the plot shows on the cross section of the material give the material the potential to be a observer or judge carrier. BET technique will give us the surface area precise and precise distribution information. BET theory explains the physical absorption of gas molecules on a solid surface and serves as the basic for an important analysis technique for measurement for a specific surface area of a material. This is the equation of BET theory, and also three applications from each concentration were attested here. This is a typical nitrogen isotherm of cellular air gels. Between the absorption and desorption, it shows a circle here, and we can call it hysteresis. And depending on the shape of this hysteresis, we can consider it as the type 4 isotherm, which give us two information. The first one is the pore shape is cylindrical, and the cellular air gel material is mesoporous solids, which means the pore diameter is between 2 nanometer to 50 nanometer. This is the pGH precise distribution of 5%, 9%, and 11% cellular air gels. From the table, you can see 5% have a higher surface area than 9% and 11%, and 5% also have a higher cumulative volume than 9 and 11%. And this phenomenon is the same at the pore diameter. And this information we can also see from the figure. The pore diameter of 5% is slightly more than 9% and 11%. Here comes the FTIR. FTIR spectra was collected at spectral resolution of width number 4 with 32 co-S scans over the range from width number 4,000 to 650. The spectra were baseline corrected and normalized to the highest absorption peak, and 30 FTIR spectra were acquired in conditioned laboratory. All samples were conditioned at least 48 hours prior to the testing, and everything was used as a control here. This is the FTIR spectra of everything, 5%, 9%, and 11%. In order to know if there is some chemical structure difference between erythrin and alger, we do the principal components analysis here. And we can see the principal components 1 and principal components 2 is represent 88% difference in this research. And the cellular algers and erythrin are successfully divided to two groups, which means they have difference on their chemical structure. Here is the width number 3,900 to 2,500, and the main difference is located at 3481, 3443 is the intermolecule hydrogen bond in cellular 2, and 3335 is the intermolecule hydrogen bonding, and 3292 is the intermolecule hydrogen bonding C3 to C6. And from the range 1,700 to 650, the main difference located on 1429, which is HCH and OCH in-plane bending vibration. The 13, 37, and 13, 15 is related to the hydrogen bonding, and 1104 is the anti-symmetric in-plane ring stretching back. For 997 is the CO and ring stretching mode, and 898 is the beta linkage. 710 is the CH2 rocking vibration in crystalline cellular I-beta. This is the IR ratio, height of peak 1429 and the peak 898 of erythrin 5%, 9% cellular algers. And from this figure, we can see the crystallicity of erythrin is higher than cellular algers. And the height of the width number 710 is the CH2 rocking vibration in crystallized cellular 1 beta. And also, the data shows cellular 1 beta was decreased after the conversion from erythrite to cellulose. The thermogravimetric analysis gives us the information of thermal properties. Also, erythrite in three different concentrations, 5%, 9%, and 11% of erythrocellulose were tested here. Each one have 9 replications. Here is the weight loss curve of erythrite 5%, 9%, and 11% cellulose. The average weight loss of water is from 35 centigrade to 150 centigrade, and the average weight loss of cellulose we test from 150 centigrade to 450 centigrade. And we can see the data here. The erythrite has a lower weight loss of water and lower weight loss of cellulose. And here is the relative weight loss curve of erythrite. This peak here shows the average dehydration temperature, and this peak shows the average decomposition temperature of cellulose. And from the data here, we can see erythrite have a lower temperature than algers on the average dehydration temperature, and also it shows a lower temperature on the decomposition temperature of cellulose. Now we after we make the characterization, we do the functionalization of cellulose algers. We use the cationic agent Cr2000, and it will react with sodium hydroxide, form epoxy intermedium, and we connect the epoxy intermedium to cellulose and form an ether linkage. And then the cellulose will have the positive charges, and it will absorb the ionic dyes by the cationic cellulases. And here is the experiment, cationic cellulases experiment. We prepare 5% and 11% cationic cellulases here, and each one have 3 applications. And then we use reactive blue dye solutions. First, we put the cationic cellulases and the control to the dye solution, and then at the end of the experiment, the cationic algers will absorb 99.6% of dye solution, and the dye solution will become totally clear. But for the controlled one, the uncationic algers, it remains the same as the first time. So here comes the conclusion. Alger materials were prepared from cellulose to desorption, regeneration, and critical drying process. The thermal decomposition temperature of cellulose is 15 centigrade higher than the starting material, the microcrystalline cellulose, and an average surface area of 124 m² per gram were obtained with 5% of microcrystallized cellulose. And cationization of air cellulose allows 99.6% absorption of a dye from a dye solution. And this funding for the project is provided by Texas Department of Agriculture, Food and Fiber Research Grant Program. Thank you, and welcome to other questions.
Have you time for questions? Because there's no other question, I'm going to pick on you a little bit.
Okay.
Go back to your first slide. Not the title slide. One after.
The first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you just... Oh, this. Okay, next one. Keep going. There. So what is N in this?
Sorry?
You have a subscript N minus 2 there. What is N?
Minus 2? Sorry, which one? I did not take that.
Okay, this is... And your slide, too, had this similar confusion on it. So,
this is low N right here.
Oh.
So what is that? What does that mean? I mean, is that an anhydro glucose unit? do you have?
Like this would try to
animals. You want me also to answer to my presentation, or you want her to answer?
I think it's the student.
No, because you will make a reference to my also now presentation. So I want also to defend my then. But I will let you her first.
So is that an anhydroglucose unit? Is the first question.
Okay.
Okay, you can answer.
And I believe I did not use the same slide. So I
no, it was a different slide. You had
no,
the power
that
slide.
Was not, and I did not use that because I didn't want to, because I use also in my class and I don't want to create confusion for them. But this is what they are meaning here. So you have a degree. The N is the value of the polymerization. So let's say you have 15,000.
Right. Okay.
And they are
and that's 15,000 glucose units. Right.
Glucose units. And they are removing there, that's the parenthesis, N minus 2. So they are moving to two ends.
Okay, so,
see,
so here's
the first one, the last
here's
one,
one and two,
minus
and,
two,
and this is n minus two. But this looks like there are two here. So this is cellobios, right?
Right. So that's the root. So in cellulose, the root in units is cellobios because the
world. No. Absolutely not. No. Look at the International Union of Pure and Applied Chemistry.
Degree of polymerization.
I look back. We've got to, do you agree that they're the governing authority?
No, listen, I didn't finish. The degree of polymerization of cellulose is how many glucose units you have in there. That's how it, okay.
Right. So that's the repeating unit.
No.
That's what IUPAC says.
Okay, the repeating unit of cellulose, if you take starch, you have the CH2 on position number 5, they are in the same way. Okay, so
the
what do you want
starch
to
makes a helix with what six residues
make,
or five what, residues or four
no, what
residues?
We want to make difference is the cellulose and the starch. Okay? Because if you go to any book, they make this N minus 2 that way, and then she is also making reference to that,
mm-hmm.
because they want to make the distinction that the first one, the glucose unit you have in there, is the inverse of the second one.
Okay, suppose we make a cellulose molecule in the soda cellulose complex where you have three residues per turn.
Okay,
so it's now cellobios the repeating unit, or cellotrios?
No, cellobios.
But it isn't in this shape anymore.
What?
The shape doesn't determine what the repeating unit is. That's my point.
Well, I think we're not talking the same thing here. What we are talking here is what people are reporting about the repeating and the degree of polymerization.
This is a textbook example. I agree completely. You can look in almost every textbook and they show this. And what my point is that if it makes you think that you have a cellulose chain, which is this,
right.
all the time, then you're missing out on all the other shapes that cellulose can take. In the case of starch, I've done work with helices with 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 residues per turn. Now you have something with 2 residues per turn or 3 residues per turn.
Right.
You don't say starch is a polymer of multotetraose.
So you are saying, so this representation here is before.
That's basically
okay,
what I'm saying.
Okay, that's fine. But as far as we're concerned, textbook is saying that so she is Python reference, so that's fine.
Okay. I'm trying to get the textbooks to change.
Okay, but the problem is they are not changed so far.
No.
Are you saying the brackets should be just on one unit?
Yeah,
because the way it's done. Because really you're talking beginning and end would make one cellulose unit, so it would be N minus 1 if you wanted to be technically.
I mean, you could.
With that diagram, but yeah.
But the point is that the shape does not determine what the repeating unit is. If it's chemically glucose,
true.
This glucose isn't that different from this glucose.
Exactly.
If cellobios is the repeating unit, there has to be a difference. If you hydrolyze it, you should get two different kinds of cellobios out of it.
We agree. What we are doing here is on this one, and the reference we are using. So far, at this as of today,
what you are saying has not been published, and I don't have reference for it.
Okay, so...
Okay.
It has been.
All right, I can see it. So what she is using here, she is using the right reference, and the argument, I know your argument, what is, you know, what is the soul of yours and what is your opinion. We know that very well, but here, that's what we are using text.
I mean, there's something that is not understood in this presentation. You know, this is probably fixed this problem, because if that's not a repeated unit, the repeated unit is one that goes in n is the degree of polymerization. You should have n minus 1 minus 2 divided by 2 in that bracket.
If you were going to go back to the cell of biases, yes. I want you to not do that. I apologize. I didn't mean to, but it's been a bone that I've been picking for many years. I do have a more serious question for you.
Okay.
And that is, whose FDIR assignments did you use? You made all these assignments.
Assignments?
Of the peak and said, well, this is a hydrogen bond and so forth. And every now and then I find myself the need to refer to that sort of thing, and I don't know who the standard is. So who's done the best job of assigning the infrared spectrum?
Well, I've got plenty of references, so I don't know exactly what we are using here. But
there's a lot of references.
You didn't do it yourself.
You mean?
There was a previous one. Or
this one?
Yeah, that one. That one's got more assignments.
Oh, you mean the why this peak relate to the 898 meter
peak? Yeah.
I just learned this information from the reference.
The reference being, you don't see it here, so that's why I asked him. I just wanted to ask the good stuff because I don't think they all agree to that.
Well, it's exactly that same my point to what you were saying. At this moment, there is plenty of references, and everybody is saying, you know, different. So if you look at paper published, for example, in 1996, and the one that has just really published now, they are disagreeing of what they have been reported. So we really don't have a reference method or assignment that has been somebody did a good review to publish, okay, this is the syllabus now, and those peaks are like to what?
That's my question. Yes. I'm not trying to find fault other than you didn't say who it was. I'm here. Who's the assignment you used? But my bigger question was who is considered the authority on this?
I don't know.
I don't think there is
one. So based on that, do you think the acoustability calculation based on the 7-10 gives you that?
Oh, you mean these two figures, graphs? The ratio of, could you please repeat your question?
So 7-10 wave number, that also a factual peak assignment for the crystalline porcelain cells?
That is just one of the evidence. I mean, we can also test this. I also did some research on the XRD to test the crystallinity. But the results not shown here. From FDIR, we can get the results from 710 to show that if the crystallinity is decreased from the conversion from the evidence to cellular edges.
I think it's that 1710 that is assigned to CH2 in crystalline region of 1 beta, that really represents the crystalline of cellulose.
It's only a PRF that looks at the whole bulk, right? It's a bulk of things, so you look at crystalline porcelain and then more porcelain as well. So do you think that's representative of the crystalline?
Or does it show up in a more facility? I don't know.
So she's showing the IR issue that has been published in 1429/898 that is had a good correlation with the XRP. So that has been published. Okay? So that's what she was showing there. The 1710 has been reported also, there's no reference to the literature, but it has been reported that it is a good indication of crystallized regions. Okay, so she did the XRD measurement, and you go from, obviously, you go from 75% to about 48% in out here. So we are reducing crystallization.
Well, but again, in XRD, you don't see this particular method using that word.
You use the reference. You go to the reference, and you have the regular, you know, you take, you are taking it relative to 002, you have the classical one density minus. So we are not doing any simulation or anything. Okay? So you use that, what has been published with XRD. Okay? Then see, well, I'm not trying here to see, you know, with the NHQ or whatever, that had changed crystal size, latest, whatever. What we are looking at the overall crystallinity of the starting material as compared to the modified one. Okay. So the overall crystallinity is 75%, and the origin has 48% or so. So even if you do statistical analysis, you have a huge difference between them. Then we did IR and showing us that you have reduced crystallinity, and the 17-10 is showing the same thing.
So the 7-10, right?
7-10, yes.
Well, I think what Kavi was asking or was alluding to, though, is you can have the Siegel crystallinity index, or you can do areas, or many different things with
right.
And each of those gives you a very different answer.
But I mean, the result you're representing, I mean, comparing two samples is okay, but if you want to look at the two crystallinity of one sample, two block crystallinity, then
And even when you say that, what do you mean by crystallinity?
Right.
Because what's a crystal and what isn't? And what I will show in the exciting final lecture of this afternoon, we're getting heated up. And this is the most exciting session that I have seen at a belt-wide in the serialization series, I have to say. But we'll see that you can get things that look like there's a lot of amorphous material there, and it's just small crystals. And you can think about it in that way and make a lot of progress in an overall understanding. Do you have anything else to say in your defense?
Oh, okay. Thank you for your attention.